And you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. And I'm Rob Artigo, your guest host for this edition of the Tough Things First podcast. Hi, Ray. It's good to be back.
Well, listen, it's always good to have you, Rob. You're always ready and eager to do these things.
And I have a lot of fun, for sure.
Let's get going.
Well, President Trump is at once being praised and also vilified for recent tariffs put in place to combat trade imbalances across the globe. So, first of all, Ray, in layman's terms, try to help us out here and explain to us, what is a tariff in this context?
Okay, so that's like a value-added tax. Almost every country has them. For example, one tactic that was used in France for imported cars, rather than calling it, putting a tax on it, what they would do is they had this import point. When the ships would come into harbor, it would take you hours to get to this little tiny, it's up a windy road, little tiny shack up in the mountains in France. And then you would stand in line and there's no cover for you. If it was raining or if it was bad weather, you were just standing out there. So if you were coming off the ship to get your unloading permits, they would make it so inconvenient that you didn't want to do it. And they would tie up your ship for a couple of weeks in the harbor, just messing around with the paperwork. And so whether you call them a tariff or you call them some kind of a restriction, like in a case in France and in the automobile industry or other imports, it's a way to either compensate the country or at least make it less convenient for the foreign supplier to sell his products within a country, whether it be in our country or any other country throughout the world. Almost every country that I know of has some form of tariff to protect their own products. In fact, let me just give you a quick story. So years ago, I took my mother to Germany to visit her relatives in Dresden. And she kept commenting over and over. She says, "I don't see any American products here." And then she would say, why don't we want to sell our products into Germany? And I said, "Mom, it's not a problem. We would like to, but what they do is they make it very expensive to buy American products in Germany." And she says, "Really? I didn't know that." So many people are not aware of the fact that every country protects their country vis-a-vis these barriers, these trade barriers that make it costly or more difficult for a supplier to be competitive. So if you were selling a hammer made in the U.S. to a foreign country and they had 100% tax on that, that'd make your hammer way too expensive. And so they promote buying locally. In fact, in some countries, I'm not going to name who they are, you can actually go to jail if you purchase a foreign product other than what was built within your country. So I think, based on my experience, that the U.S. is probably the most open border trade in the entire world. That's my opinion. I'll tell you that because, or give you my statistic on that, because we run the biggest trade balance of any country in the world. $600 billion we run in a negative trade deficit, where we buy $600 billion more products than we sell outside the U.S. And it's not because our products are more expensive. It's because every country puts these big tariffs on our products, making our products very expensive to buy in their country.
And it doesn't seem very fair. I mean, if we think about what we've done over the last many decades, it was a matter of generosity on the part of America, the United States, to reduce these barriers, so much so that, you know, like you said, it becomes the most open border country in terms of trade out there. And this massive trade imbalance exists. To turn around and say that there's something wrong now, I mean, maybe at one time it helped the world by doing that. It helped the world with its own commerce by doing that. But now to have the United States, which has suffered a lot because of it in recent decades, to take back some of that now. I mean, isn't that what it seems like the president's trying to do?
Well, he said, I'm the president of the United States of America. I'm not the president of the world. And so he says, I'm here to make our country better and more attractive. Well, our country is already more better and attractive because look at the immigration. I mean, one of the thoughts I had, you know, we've talked about immigration. One of the thoughts I had is that, you know, if you want to immigrate to our country, your country has to make your country more attractive to get one of our people to move to your country. And so it's the same thing on tariffs. You know, if you want to sell more product in the United States, you got to buy more product from the United States. So it should be a one for one, not this big, huge imbalance. You know, we have been the world suckers, whether it be, you know, on NATO and protecting the world, or whether it be in immigration, whether it, trade imbalances. We are the big suckers of the world, meaning that people are just more willing to take advantage of our country than should be the other way around. So what Donald Trump is doing is, and this, by the way, is not new. You know, trade restrictions have been put on by Kennedy and by Johnson and by Carter. All these guys have put on, you know, trade barriers when it felt it was politically good for them to do it. So, again, Donald Trump said, you know, America first. And so he's made that promise before he was elected, and he wants to keep that promise.
So the term trade war comes up in this context. And so what is a trade war? And do you believe that what is taking place right now qualifies as a true trade war?
It's not a trade war. They call it a trade war, or they, at least the press calls it a trade war, because they said, well, then those countries are just going to make our products more expensive in their country. They don't buy much from us anyway. So you can't have a war where there's no battle. So, you know, they could say, well, we're going to put more restrictions on whiskey, or we're going to put more restrictions on motorcycles or something like that. But that's a minimal part of our country's economy. So they may be able to hurt some aspects of our economy, but the benefits that we'll receive overall are going to be greater than the losses we're going to undergo, because Harley-Davidson is going to lose a few sales in some of these other countries.
Well, we think about trade with China a lot because of the tariffs, but I know that the president has been very critical of Germany, which you've mentioned Germany. And do you think that we miss the point if we focus too much on the fact that we have a trade imbalance with just China, that, like you said, with virtually every other country in the world, they put tariffs on our products, but you don't want us to have a tariff on theirs?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mentioned earlier that I took my mother to Germany to visit her relatives in Dresden. And up until 89, Dresden was part of the Eastern GDR, which is the East German area. And they had lots of Russians. They had over 3,000 Russian soldiers were stationed there. And they had a store. They had a Russian store. And as soon as the wall came down, nobody went into that Russian store to buy anything. There was none of those East German or Russian products were even sold. I decided to kind of peruse, walk through there. And I asked the storekeeper, you know, how business is. And she said, well, since the wall came down and since, you know, the reunification of Germany, she says, we're not selling any of these products. So it's just interesting that if you make a quality product, it'll sell, okay, in your country. And you know, we have found that the Germans and others have made great cars and they sold well here. It's just that they're, by the same token, they can't make it totally impossible for us to sell our vehicles or our products in their countries. And so no matter how good we make our product, If they make it so expensive that no one can buy it, then of course then it's a loss for the U.S. And that's what Trump's trying to solve.
If we have where we've put a tariff on a product, and then the other country counters with a tariff on our products going in and raising the price, then I know, for example, that some companies have said, and I want to say Tesla is one of them, said, we're going to just raise the price of the Tesla in China because that'll offset the cost of the tariff. And that would prevent them from losing money. Instead of absorbing it, they want to raise the price and compensate. It'll actually be more expensive. So in this country and elsewhere, where will the products be more expensive, and will the average Joe just have to deal with the pain and feel it?
Well, that's a threat. I mean, that's what the other side, who don't like Trump, try to make us feel, that, oh, the world's coming to an end because we won't be able to afford any of these products. That's just rhetoric, and it's just all to make us worry and feel concerned. Trump knows what he's doing, and he's negotiating well for us. It will benefit our country, and it'll benefit on short term. Remember, he only serves for 4 years, and he's already done almost a year and a half now. And so he's going to say in the next 2.5 years, he's going to make a huge difference. And I think it will improve our manufacturing capability and our sales in these other countries, because again, these other countries want our products too. And if they price them so high that nobody can buy them, their citizens will complain.
And as always, you could reach out to Raise In with your questions at toughthingsfirst.com. Continue your education and the conversation with all the podcasts, blogs, and links to information about the book, Tough Things First. Also, check out Ray's new book, The Zen of Zen, a collection of writings on interrelated topics of entrepreneurship, leadership, management, everything that we talk about here, including discipline, determination, society, people, and life. It's The Zen of Zen. Thank you again, Ray.
Thanks, Rob.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.